this guy back.
Frank, you better tell me what's going on here. Am I being replaced?
I could confirm nor deny.
Might as well make the best of it, right, Kyle?
That is correct.
All right, here we go. Welcome into another episode of Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And Kyle Powell.
That's right. You just heard a third name. That's because we now have a third wheel. We're like one of those...
awkward dates.
I was going to go with the...
awkward dates.
I was going to go with the three-wheeled thingies that you see sometimes that just look stupid. But,
a tricycle?
But it's not a tricycle. Like, it's a motorcycle thing, but it has three wheels on it.
The one with like
the three-wheeler?
Yeah, the extra seat on there.
Yes. Well, not even the one with the extra seat, just a straight-up three-wheeler. One where it's got two wheels in the front and one on the back or something, or like one and then two on the back because reasons.
Sure.
That's right. The Leftovers Podcast is now a three-wheeler because it is being...
upgraded.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Ballsy.
Wow.
From the new guy. And I like it.
Wow.
Kyle's joining us here, and now it's a three-man group. It is no longer going to be the Leftovers Podcast with just Derek and Frank. We've added a third idiot to the mix, so hope you're ready for that. Yes, and that you're getting branded with us here, so therefore you are an idiot.
I appreciate that. I'm ready.
All right. So, guys, speaking of appreciation, it is Fan Appreciation Night at the arena for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yay!
I've got to say that's got to be one of my top five cheesiest and or best segues. Mm. Kyle's cringing still.
Yeah, man.
I don't know if you're cringing about the Sabres or me. And we're just going to keep going.
I'm
going to
say
I don't care.
Both.
No, more so the Sabres. I just wonder what percentage
I'll say you. I'll say you.
Fine. There we go. We stay on brand.
Yeah.
Okay, so, guys, it's the...
Can I tell a funny story real quick?
Could I just make one real quick joke?
Sure.
The quick joke is this. You know what I appreciate about Fan Appreciation Night?
What's that?
It's the fact that there's only two Sabres games left.
Ha.
And one at home.
That's it.
Yeah.
My wonder is, truthfully, honestly, how many fans will show up, get the bobblehead, and turn around?
Yes, and you can make it a wrong-sided stick for Jack Eichel. The stick comes out, so it can be put into the left or the right hand. You can make it correct, or you can make it not correct if you want.
That's fantastic.
Or you could grab the Dominic Hasek bobblehead if you were lucky enough to get one of those, and then you can take the goalie stick out of his hand and put that in Jack Eichel's hand, probably, and then you can have him carrying a goalie stick.
Because Lord knows that's about the only thing he didn't do this year.
Very yeah. True. All right, Frank.
So something funny really happened last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it involves our good friend, Lars Lewis.
Uh-oh.
So
a guest of the pod.
A guest of the pod, yes. He invited me out bowling. So I was like, sure, why not? I get out of work at 8:30. I'll go hang out with him. I go to lanes. I wait for him. He pulls up, parks his car. I go out, stand next to his window just because I'm doing something stupid. He opens his door and says, get in the car. I did something stupid. He came from our friend Scott's house, his apartment.
Okay.
He took, and our another friend of theirs, Trevor, was there.
Okay.
And you know these two.
Okay. But these people don't.
Yes. He took Trevor's keys.
Nice.
When he left.
Nice.
Thinking Trevor's keys were his.
And then he used his keys to start his car and
yes.
Not the keys that he took.
Yes. Because he put his keys were in his coat pocket. He put Trevor's keys in a different pocket and then completely ignored the fact that he just put Trevor's keys in his pocket and went to his other pocket where his keys were to start his car. And didn't realize he had Trevor's keys in his pocket until after he parked. It might be the dumbest thing he's ever done.
Nice. Nice. So what you're saying is this Sabres season is they took our keys after hanging out with us and it was a good time with 10 games in a row that were wins. Then they took our keys and we didn't get to leave the horror show that was.
That's a great way to put it.
There's not many
good work.
There's not many great ways to put this season.
No.
So I ask you to.
I love the fact how you took my story and you turned it into that. Good work.
Sometimes I'm a storyteller, Frank, even though you told the story.
Yeah.
So I ask you to this in honor of Fan Appreciation Night. Why don't we look at the good times of this season? What were the things that you actually valued from this year? The things that, for these last two games, if you have to watch them, you are watching for?
Rasmus Dahlin is a monster.
Okay. We do have Rasmus Dahlin, and that's something that does need to be appreciated.
I think another thing, too, that especially would be a nice send-off tonight, not only to the player but to the fans of this city, would be to see the organization not take a tone-deaf approach to Jason Pominville's potential last game in Buffalo.
Yes.
I did have a little tirade on him when I was in here with you last week about him taking up some minutes from the young guys. But today's different. Mm-hmm. I think in my eyes, the last potential game for a guy that's been here since 05, 06 with a brief stop in Minnesota in between, tenure two in Buffalo has been a nice, you know, turning back the clock kind of scenario with Pominville. But, oh my God, the last thing I want to see tonight is him to get 6-7 minutes on the fourth line.
Well, yeah.
And
here's your good news.
Decision on his future and have that be the last stamp on his career here in Buffalo.
Here's your good news.
Okay.
At first, I thought it was potential good news for that thing and that thing alone.
Uh-huh. No.
Alex Nylander will not play tonight.
Oh, yes.
He suffered a cut on his leg in the last game. He's day-to-day. That's going to be rough for him for Rochester. But
stitches, too.
Yeah, he got some stitches, so he's not playing tonight. I'd imagine he's not going to play against Detroit. So he's probably just going to get sent down after this. And all is forgiven there. That's the season in the NHL for Alex Nylander.
Yeah.
And we'll have more on that as well. But Victor Olofsson remains on the top line. And guess who is skating with Jason Pominville?
Larson and Gergensens.
You would be absolutely right.
Oh, man.
Hello, tone deaf.
Yeah.
Meet Phil Housley, which has been him all year.
It's not even this regime. You go back to starting Larson against Connor McDavid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jack Eichel.
Yeah.
Like, it's a completely different regime, and they still didn't even do that right.
Oh, that's right.
There's just little moments in hockey, in any sport, that just the fans live for. You want to build some credibility with your fan base.
You got to remember.
Don't have McDavid staring Johan Larson in the face for his first chance for those two top draft picks to meet, especially after the toil you put the fan base through to even get a chance at one of those guys.
That was.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I think I read, too.
Hello, tone deaf, because we've got Pominville on the fourth line against Ottawa tonight.
Great. I think I read, too, that Pominville needs, I think, one goal or two goals to be in sole possession of 10th place on the goal list.
For the Sabres?
For the Sabres for all time. It's either the goal or the point list. Or it might be the point list. But I'm pretty sure I read it was goals.
Well, I'm going to find
that
out.
He's one or two away. I think he might be tied for 10th right now. And he needs one goal to.
He's tied for 10th with Don Lewis in goals.
There it is.
And there it would be. He's actually already 8th in points. And he's going to remain behind Don Lewis unless he has a. Unless he has an 8-point game. It's Ottawa. Last time they were here.
I will add, 4 points?
Yeah, and it was a nice little scoring bonanza.
It was like right after his 1,000th game.
Yes, but it's goals. And
yeah,
he
needs
216.
One goal.
He's tied with Don Luce.
Okay.
And he's going to have to try to get goal number 217 as a saver with Johan Larson and Zemgus Girgensons.
Enjoy being tied for 10th, Pominville. Sorry.
It's unfortunate.
Yes.
And there you go, Kyle.
I blame Housley.
There you go. You basically called it ironically.
That's right.
You had no idea what it was, and I looked up the lines this morning, and there it was. 29-22-28.
Also read, too, that he had to be excused from a press conference earlier, some pregame interviews, because it's weighing heavy on him.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it's possibly his last game in Buffalo, and a place where he's scored 216 goals in his career. a place where he has been a fan favorite for a long time. He's played 731 games as a Sabre. This might be the last one in Buffalo. As a Sabre, at the very least.
Yeah.
This has to be it, don't you think?
It could be.
I don't know.
If he still thinks he can play, he's going to need to find a team that agrees with that. And
if he still thinks he can play, I absolutely, and he's going to have to accept that he's probably going to wait until August to get anything.
Yeah, he'd have to
because probably going to be offered a PTO from a team, and then it's all on if he performs well.
Yes, the Drew Stafford way.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah, it's probably where he's going to be at this point is, you know, the late in the off season PTO, arrive in training camp, see if he can make it via tryout kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and guess what? They're putting him with Larson and Gergensens. You're welcome. You are welcome. I've noticed, though, that I've been going a little heavy on the hate for a guy like Zemgus Gergensens. And my reasoning always is this. If I'm as a recreational hockey player, I should not be able to relate to a professional athlete. And a man who falls down and whiffs on gimme scoring chances, that screams me all day. Unfortunately, it also screams Zemgus Gergensens. So, it's interesting to see that he's on the fourth line tonight with the pairing of Larson and Gergensens. And that kind of bites.
That doesn't really bite. I'm going to start using that again. It bites.
It bites.
It does bite.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, especially just because he needs his one goal to be sole possession in 10th place, be in the top 10 by
himself. First off, you can accident your way to a goal on the fourth line.
But wouldn't it be fitting to see him get that goal playing with, like, Eichel?
Yes, but I think they're giving Olofsson one last look on the top line.
Olofsson, Pominville, Eichel.
I mean, Reinhardt's been good with those two, so I'm not going
to... I know. I'm just
not going to go ahead and change that.
At this point of the year...
But why does Skinner and Rodriguez have to have Oposo on the wing?
Put Reinhardt
there. Why not...
Put Reinhardt there.
Why not Pominville there?
Reinhardt could be a middle stat. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Sherry or Scott Wilson are going to be on the right wing for KC Mittelstadt.
Neat.
They're both left wingers.
I know. Is that the line?
Yes.
Wilson, Sherry, Mittelstadt?
Wilson, Sherry, Mittelstadt, yeah. I could sense the pain in your face.
Oh, you can sense it all right.
I could see it.
The regret.
What regret?
I don't know, but there's regret. It might be the regret of defending Housley like 3 months ago.
Yeah. You were a little slower than me on it, and I was slow on the turn.
Yeah.
And Kyle and I had a nice discussion on the nightcap back on Monday about Chris Taylor being a potential guy to fill in for this. Another name that I ignored or kind of skipped over a little bit was because I was not certain about the job status of is Bruce Boudreaux of the Wild. They've missed the playoffs now in Minnesota with a team that always, thanks to the contracts of Ryan Suter and Zach Parise, they always have to go for it. And anytime you don't make it, it's an abject failure. They can't really get past the second round anyway based on the fact that they don't have enough to their core, but Paul Fenton didn't hire Bruce Boudreaux. He could easily let go of him and look for a new coach.
It's very likely that's the case.
So the thought then becomes, well, if you're looking for a veteran coach, a guy like an Alain Vigneault or a Bruce Boudreaux could be there as the potential next guy. Or do you stay on the youth route? Do you stay with a guy like a Chris Taylor and everything like that? And then Elliot Friedman had something in his 31 thoughts about how they don't want to, how they might not want to fire Housley, simply based on the fact that, something I brought up months ago, they've fired too many coaches recently. and it looks like bad optics.
And I fear that they might be doing it just to prove a point. They might not fire Housley to prove the point. They can't be firing coaches every 2 years.
Here's my thing. Jason Bottrell, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. If he does fire Housley, guess what? The next target's him.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
If he doesn't fire Housley, he not only has to justify it, but now there's a target on both of them. Because or it almost looks like an offense in itself to keep him.
Yeah. And...
Or they both get fired,
and it's Tim Murray Bowsma all over again. Because that's essentially how Murray got fired. Besides, obviously, how he did as GM. But let's be real. He got fired because the Pegulas fired Murray because he wouldn't fire Bowsma. The Pegulas wanted to fire Bowsma after the report came out that Eichel would not sign a contract extension with the Sabres if Bowsma was still the head coach. Whether or not that was true, the Pegulas saw that and thought, Bowsma needs to go. Hey, Murray, fire him. No, he's my guy. Well, you're fired too. You're both fired. Get out.
First off, I hope you don't truly scare like that if a report about a player not wanting to play for the coach is...
I don't know, but at the same time, I wouldn't put it past him. I really wouldn't. Because what can you do as owner? If something like that comes out, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, we all agree that they had to fire Bylsma.
Yes.
But no one thought Tim Murray would get fired, too.
There was shade being thrown from the locker room about their head coach.
Exactly.
Not like now where you have Jack Eichel getting pissed about
it. So because of all that, combined with the fact that that report comes out there, you had to do something. It just, in turn, your GM, I really think, refused to fire Dan Bowsma. So, as a result, they were like, they had to be, well, you're gone too.
Yeah, it's...
And I hope something like that doesn't happen again. Firing Housley, fine. We know that that should happen. We agree. We're going to agree on that. I don't want them to fire Bottrell because I think he's done good. And a lot of people aren't talking about how well that this team has drafted the last 2 years because these players don't come in right away, besides Dahlin. Even Mittelstadt took a year. The team has drafted really well.
After you burn a year of his ELC for 8 games last year.
Well, you had to. A lot of teams do that. It's not uncommon.
I know it's not uncommon, but do you have to do it?
It was either he signs and plays in Buffalo right away, or he's going back to Minnesota this year. And he's not in Buffalo this year.
Honestly, would it be that bad? Would it have been that bad for Buffalo or him? Because he clearly wasn't ready. Hindsight 2020.
This was a case where both sides thought that he was ready. Mittelstadt thought he was ready. Sabres thought he was ready. And it just that didn't.
And
end
I remember
up being
that
the case.
Being seen as an enticing perk to make sure that a young prospect that was very promising, signed on with the very first 31st place team in the NHL.
Yeah. But
what an honor.
Nobody really is talking about how.
Yeah,
well
take that, Ottawa.
Nobody's really talking about how well the Sabres have drafted the last couple years because these guys don't come in right away, obviously, as I said, except Dahlin.
Well, there's a reason for that, though, Frank, because you look at Casey Mittelstadt, for example. Casey Mittelstadt was seen as the best player in an organization, not on an NHL roster.
Yes.
And he really struggled this year.
Yeah, and a lot of that comes down to
that doesn't
his
mean,
deployment.
That doesn't mean that he's a bust.
No,
but it also means that he's also that also means that those sorts of prognostications can always be misleading.
But
Cody Hodgson at one point was seen as the best prospect in hockey that belonged to a team.
Yeah.
Like, people get these things wrong, and that's why you can't really comment on how well they're drafting right now, because
we need to see tangible
results.
But we need – right. And
we're actually finally seeing something from Tim Murray's draft classes.
Yeah. Olofsson, Borgen.
I mean, that's pretty much –
Asplund.
Yeah, like Nylander's
finally coming along. Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're finally seeing the results 3 years down the road from Tim Murray's draft classes.
And Batrel, we're starting to see it sooner.
Yes, we're starting to
see it sooner. UPL's going to be in Rochester next year. There's a very good chance Marcus Davidson signs this year and is in Rochester next year. The hope is Jacob Bryson signs this year and plays in Rochester next year. And there's Matias Samuelsson, who they just drafted last year.
But again, it's probably about another
year away. And then there's Mateusz Pekar.
But again, just because you get these guys to Rochester does not mean that they can take the next step right away, or that they are not going to ever take the next step. So you do have to be careful with that.
You have to be careful. But
I'm just saying, check it.
Let me tell you this though: what does that do? When you get those guys into Rochester? Based on where the Amherst are now and who's there,
The problem is, we don't know if Chris Taylor is going to be there to help develop these guys next year.
Chris Taylor might
be up in Buffalo trying to help.
But that may not
matter. Their young guys.
But that may not matter.
I've noticed though that Bottrell and Randy Sexton, the assistant general manager, they have a very important priority on the success of the minor league team. So they will get a solid coach, I think, for developmental reasons there. The only thing is, we also have to live in the right now. Right now.
Yeah.
In one calendar year.
That's why you got to find
Jeremy White pointed this out. 1 year, 13 coaches have been fired in the NHL. 13 teams have decided they need to start over. 8 within this season alone.
Yeah.
In season.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you can't wait for these guys to get here. If you're Jason Bottrell, you might need to pull the trigger on Phil Housley, because what has happened ever since Phil Housley has been hired? You have finished in 31st place and now possibly could file as low as 30th place.
Yeah.
You know what that is?
I know, right?
You know what that is? That's Ted Nolan with a tank roster. Seriously, and I hate to be this guy, Ted Nolan literally could do better than this. Only because you can't do worse. If Ted Nolan had this roster, it'd piss us all off that Zemgus Girgensons is on the first line, but they'd find a way with secondary scoring because Eichel would be on the third line for no reason. He'd get good defensive matchups.
Sure.
But joking aside, you can't do worse than this.
My thought process on...
And winning 14 of the last 54 games after finishing in dead last with a roster that Bielsma put up 78 points with? This is a fireable offense.
It is.
And it's rather damning of Jason Bottrell or Terry Pegula or Kim Pegula if they think that they need continuity for sake of continuity alone.
Yeah.
What is continuity if you're constantly in the 30s in the standings? Where, by the way, there's only two teams that could finish in the 30s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Continuity for continuity's sake is stupid. And if they don't make a move here, honestly, trio is stupid.
That's where my point kind of finishes up. When you get these guys that Bottrell drafted into Rochester, you're going to be pushing guys like C.J. Smith, Victor Olofsson, Alex Nylander, eventually Rasmus Asplund, even Sean Malone. You're pushing these guys up the lineup and into Buffalo.
But you can't rely on the unknown right now.
Because they did that
this year with Casey Mittelstadt, and they got burned in a trade. They got roasted in that trade.
But at the very same time, this team needs to get younger.
This team is already younger. They're one of the youngest teams already in the league, Frank.
And they need to continue to get younger.
Good news. They're already going to get younger. This is possibly Jason Palmville's last game in Buffalo.
Yeah.
That immediately makes this team younger. They possibly are going to go ahead and buy out Marco Scandella. That would make this team younger. They're possibly going to go ahead and look into a buyout for Vladimir Soboka. That makes this team younger. Let's see. You need to supplant it with NHL talent. That is known NHL talent. They need to make a power move.
That's where Ristolainen comes in.
And that's where Ristolainen comes in. Because the word yesterday was roster surgery. And I think if I'm a doctor, I'm ordering up a subokindectomy, followed by a Risto procedure to get us 20 cc's of scoring depth.
I honestly thought it was super interesting that Jeremy's prediction of the layovers from 2018-19 and 2019-20 did not include Linus Allmark nor Sam Reinhart.
And Sam Reinhart's the interesting one because he's got another year on this very team-friendly deal.
Bridge.
Yeah.
Bridge contract. And if he plays like he did this year, he's going to get a significant raise. I do not mind paying Sam Reinhart. I do not mind having to do that to keep him on this roster.
Yeah.
He has shown that he can drive a line by himself when Phil Housley actually allows him to.
What a moment that was. We believe Sam can drive a line on his own.
Puts him back with Jack.
Skinner and Jack.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Yes, we've seen that Sam Reinhart can do this. Refuses to let Sam Reinhart do this. Like, come on. And that's just showing more of the folly of the coaching of Phil Housley. He says that this team looks at the analytics. I don't believe him. The players don't look at the analytics. They are receiving an article about them, you know, kind of being skeptical about that sort of stuff. And I don't blame you. Your job is just go out there and play.
Yep.
But if a coach says that he's looking at the analytics and continues to defy all analytical advantages that this team has, like Lawrence Pilot, or possibly having a guy like Vladimir Soboka be on anything other than your fourth line. I mean, let's be fair, though. I mean, it's either Soboka's on your third line sometimes, or it's Johan Larson. They're kind of the same guy at this point.
Yeah.
But the premise remains. You're kind of defying those things that you supposedly say that you look at and use to help make decisions, which makes me think that you don't care about them at all.
No, you're absolutely right. I feel like every time
you could be a boob of a coach, but don't lie to me.
And that's exactly what's happening.
Yes.
Every time Phil Housley opens his mouth talking about metrics or shot mentality, or we had something as simple as we had a good effort last night, got a lot of shots. 45 shots doesn't mean anything if they're not good shots. You could take shots from the wall. I feel like every time something is said from this regime, something comes out to completely negate what they were saying anyway. You can just as easily figure out the validity of some of the words that comes out of Housley and Botterill's mouth by simple analytics sake of looking things up and registering all the shots and seeing the heat maps. Heat maps are hilarious at this team sometimes.
Oh, my God.
45 shots. How many were of high danger? 4. We had a shot mentality. It doesn't matter. Sometimes it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, if I think
they're not taking quality,
if I think I need to,
they're not taking quality chances.
If I think I need to take a shot and I'm at the blue line, but I have to have the shot mentality, it's not always going to be a good shot. I mean, because the only way is if it's screened heavily that there could be any sort of high danger chance to it.
Like Marco Scandella taking a clapper on a 4-on-2 because shot mentality.
Yeah,
every time. We were supposed to be talking about the good things about this team, and this always happens.
I know.
Every podcast.
I know.
Every podcast, we end up just having to dump on this team because they're dumping on us.
Shows how much good times there are.
I don't think it's any fault of our own, though.
No. They put it on themselves.
And Kyle clearly knew to this. I saw him just kick his head back when I started yelling again. Because this team just makes me yell right now. 8 years without the postseason.
Yeah.
And if Carolina wins tonight, hello, darkness. We have the longest playoff drought in a major sports league again. We're back. We lost that title for a year. We had a whole year. We did it, fam. We're heading back home. Christ. By the way, apparently Matt Molson threw in some comments about this team.
Yes, I saw the did not read it, but I saw a notification from The Athletic.
Yeah.
Talking about as he found his spirit for hockey again.
First off, Matt Molson was part of the tank team.
Some choice words for Dan Bylsma.
Okay,
I did see a clip.
Yeah.
Snippet.
Yeah, I got it. I'm checking it out right now. Here, I'll read it out.
Yeah, go ahead.
The darkest time was that first year in Buffalo under Dan, Molson said. I had a terrible year. I didn't have many answers from the Sabres when I was looking for them. Maybe he thought I was a different type of player than I was. I'm not sure. I don't really know. I never really got an answer out of him. Interviewed separately, Alicia called the first year under Bylsma the lowest point. Alicia is Matt Molson's wife.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest point of her husband's career. Matt's ice time plummeted in 15-16 by 6 minutes from the season before. He recorded 8 goals, 2 on the power play, and 13 assists. Molson claimed Bylsma was aloof and unwilling to give specifics for the decreased role.
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the reasons we saw this team really, really not very fond of Dan Bylsma. But it was always like, and still, at the end of the day, they were a middling team. They had 81 points that year. This year, I would kill for 81 points. That would have given me a shot at the playoffs in the West.
Yeah, seriously.
Which, obviously, that doesn't happen. That's not allowed, but crap. 81 points, that would have been something we would have been very...
Yeah. Oh, we all thought that was all but certain.
I'm looking at this roster, though, from Bylsma's first year.
Jamie McGinn was here for a little while. Josh Georges, McCabe.
Matt Molson was 10th in scoring. It was Eichel's first year here.
Yep. Nick O'Reilly led the team in points.
He did. Tim Schaller here, yes? Yep.
Yes, Tim Schaller played 17 games.
Yes, I watched him score a goal against the Capitals. He totally outperformed Alex Ovechkin in Buffalo. So,
so you look at this though, and
Tyler Ennis
played 23 games. It was an injury riddled campaign.
Yep.
But you had Josh Georges, Carlo Koliakovo, and Mike Weber on the same team, and they got you 81 points. I get it, Matt Molson. I hate Dan Bylsma as much as the next guy, and definitely less than you do. But Bylsma is a mountain compared to Housley's molehill.
They followed it up in 16-17 with 78 points, I believe, and one of the most lethal power plays that included Matt Molson.
Yeah.
And yet they finished worse than that first season with Bylsma. And that's why we were like, okay, we got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And if the organization had that mindset about Bylsma, how do you go from a 31st place team and actually look worse than that? Or at least have a more miserable season than that? In the standings, obviously you're going to have a better year because...
You can't do worse than last.
Last year was just booty.
Last year... You couldn't even watch the team.
Some of us had to.
I know.
Some of us had to, Frank.
I know.
Yeah, Frank.
I know.
Acknowledge those that...
I hung around with you guys.
But the strangest thing about all of this is they're only 10 points better than last year.
Yeah. They are.
And I looked into the win streaks and losing streaks. We did this on Monday, Kyle.
Yes, we did.
8 total win streaks under Phil Housley. Dan Bylsma in that second season had 8 winning streaks. This season alone, losing streaks for the Sabres, 10, including the current 8-gamer. Oh, God, it's up to 8 games now.
That could be 16 if the shootout goes differently against St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
There's some more perspective.
My
had
God,
that shootout
I know.
Gone one goal differently, 16 games in a row.
And if they bomb at these last two, they end it down 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Tell me what NHL head coach survives.
Save the fact that there was a 10-game winning streak in the middle.
On a 10-game losing streak.
Yeah.
We've seen winning streaks save coaches' jobs. Look at what's going on in Detroit. Jeff Blashill just got a contract extension. The Red Wings have won 6 in a row. John Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets were injury-riddled to all hell. In the tank year, they were possibly a threat. What happens? They rip off 10 in a row at the end of the season. They don't make the playoffs, but they make things feel better. And here you are looking at possibly going 10 in a row losses. No coach survives that. Hell, the general manager's in danger at that point.
Numbers for numbers' sake, too.
Mm-hmm.
You just said 10 points better than last year.
But one position.
What happens
when potentially
you cut the
streak one position
in, half?
In the
I feel
standings.
Like Count Drac.
Count Chocula?
Yes.
No. I'm talking. I was thinking about the Count from Sesame Street. I didn't. I forgot
oh
he doesn't.
God.
I thought he. I just. He's just the Count.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I was throwing a last name into a count that doesn't have a last name, and 10's the number right now. 10. Ten losses in a row. I'm going to hate this team. Ten points better than last year.
That's what's happened this year. I'm turning to the count. Crap. So
someone else say something.
Okay. So the stuff that happened on GR on Monday with Howard and Jeremy.
Paul?
Yes. Jeremy, in his rant in that, did bring up a good point.
He brought up a lot of them.
He did. This one, though, I think stood out for me. If this was anywhere close to how the Premier League is, Housley would have been fired last year. He might not have made it through his first year.
Yeah, because they were dead by December.
Yeah. And because the Premier League, there's no sympathy. There's no, well, the team was bad, you can't blame the coach, things like that. No, if you don't win, you get fired. And it doesn't matter how what the team is.
They expect you to win.
Yeah.
And that's why, Frank, when you were saying those things about, like, Botchell's drafting, for example.
None
you
of
can't
that
rely
none
on
of that would matter, yeah.
You can't rely. Like, even here, you can't rely on that.
No.
Because there are sure things that are no longer sure things. Casey Mittelstadt was seen as the best player not in an NHL team. He put up 25 points. And yes, some college players do tend to struggle in their first season as a pro, but if it really were to be the case like that, he would have had a Brock Besser kind of year. Where he looks like a rock star coming out of his first year of college. And I'm not trying to dog on Casey Mittelstadt. I'm just saying that the man had a bad year. And that's what happens. But unfortunately, expectations get put up there, and even within the team, to put him in a position to fail. You guys want to talk about something happier?
Sure.
Let's
What's that?
Let's laugh at other people's misery.
Okay.
Like how there is a major bombshell of an article about the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy, and Aaron Rodgers written by Tyler Dunn.
A frequent of the station.
Yes, a frequent of the station and hater of everyone who doesn't put their shopping carts back in the corral. Keep fighting the good fight, Tyler. I know I sure will. But he wrote a giant piece on what happened in Green Bay between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. And it just is one of those things, though, that the disconnect and everything with the tension between head coach and quarterback, I pray that that doesn't happen here. Obviously, you're not going to have to worry too much about the head coach and the quarterback because McDermott is a defensive guy, whereas Josh Allen is the quarterback on the other side of the football.
Right.
But, man, I always thought Mike McCarthy was a little incompetent.
Mm-hmm.
That article kind of confirms some things. Yeah, Rodgers is a hothead, too. But he's also just fantastic at his job.
Yeah.
You kind of put up with that for the other side of it. Whereas McCarthy was kind of aloof and dragging this team down a little bit. And that's, again, continuity for continuity's sake. So definitely get a chance to read that on Bleacher Report there from Tyler Dunn if you have the time. Opening day today for the Bisons. But in typical Buffalo fashion, we can't have all nice things. No Vlad Guerrero Jr. as he recovers from injury.
Yeah, the consensus was you may only get a few weeks of him anyway. But honestly, with the injury, I think this actually may prolong his tenure in Buffalo.
Yeah, it would. I think so.
Because service time is that clock ends for the seventh year of team control Major League. At the major league level, I believe no earlier than the second week of April. But he's not going to be ready by then. So you look at the fact that
probably get rehab games in AAA.
Plenty of them. So there's that enticement downtown that you may actually get close. I don't want to say a month, but yeah, definitely a few more amounts and chances to see Guerrero Jr. before he graduates to Toronto. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Their pregame has just started, too.
Yeah, pregame has just started there. You can catch all Bisons games, or at least a very large majority of Bisons games this year, on our sister station at ESPN 1520. So, I just want to, once Guerrero comes to the Buffalo lineup, get there while you can. Watch him rip dingers.
Oh, yeah.
Take in some food. Which, didn't they open something like a buffet down at the ballpark this year?
They introduced a couple new foods. I'm not sure if it's a buffet.
We need to bring in Pat Malacaro for this.
I think we do.
For one of these sessions. But now we have to avoid game days for that. Because Pat's a busy man now.
That's tough to do.
We may have missed our opportunity, boys.
Whoops.
But, opening day. Always good, no matter what kind of team, what kind of league it is. It's always fun to go down there. So if you're listening to this and you haven't gone down to the ballpark, well, you might have missed it. Because pregame underway already, and first pitch at 2. So what do we have on our thoughts here with the draft, with the Bills? For me, I'm kind of sitting in this stance right now. You know they're not taking a quarterback, so they're not wasting a pick a la the Cardinals. That's right, I went there. I think if they take Kyler Murray, they're wasting a pick. At the very least, they're wasting last year's pick.
Yeah.
So you know Buffalo's not doing that. They're not going to take a running back in the top 10 because there's no running back really with the perceived value of a top 10 pick. There's no Todd Gurley in this draft. So can they really do anything wrong, everything else given?
I don't think so. I think they're in a nice position where they're very dependent on what happens ahead of them. Should somebody else draft a position that they felt like they were targeting? I mean, Brandon Bean has said from the start, we're not drafting for a position of need. We're going to take the best available player. If that best available player turns out to be Ed Oliver, like Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports happened to say yesterday to Bulldog and Sal, if that's there, I think you take that. But if not, you have a lot of options in front of you, too. You could be a 100% draft down, which is a trade down, which is another favorite thing for fans to do because, you're pretty solidified. You did a good job in free agency getting some team-friendly deals, bringing in a lot of competition, as Brandon Bean has called it. So training camp should be very interesting from there. You're going to have a lot of battles at a lot of different positions. So I think, 100%, I think the ball is in Buffalo's court. They have a lot of options on their table 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, there's a lot of options, and I really think that they can't do anything wrong.
I agree.
They can go with a defensive lineman, and it would be awesome. They can go with a pass rusher. That would be great. They can even take a linebacker, and you know what? I'll just shrug my shoulders and go, okay, you've got an idea. They could go offensive line, interior, tackle. Cool. Also cool. They can go wide receiver. I'm for it.
Yeah. Could go tight end.
They can go tight end. I'm for it.
Yeah.
Like, really, there's not many ways that the Bills can screw this up, which they are in a rare position right now.
Yeah.
And, of course, you're never going to ever please everybody. That's just people. But a large majority of the fan base probably isn't going to be mad about whatever happens here, which is the opposite of what you could say about the hockey team. They're in a rare position right now. They are right now the golden goose. They are the team in Buffalo we have to aspire to.
Yeah, you think about this time last year, it was the fan base was cut in fives.
Mm-hmm.
That you is had the Lamar sense. Camp, you had the Mayfield camp, you had the almost. Rosen versus Allen camp, yeah. You had
Darnold camp.
Darnold. Yeah, and then you had the very few people in the back that were like Rudolph.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't listen to them. We didn't take those people.
They're just in the corner.
They're in the corner.
They're in
they
timeout.
Were in the corner. They were in timeout. They were in the corner. It was okay.
No, you bad. Tried. He's bad. Bad.
You tried. But yeah, you're right. It possibly was even split into six. And I was on a team camp of I was on Team Lamar last year.
Yeah.
I did not like the guy who would eventually become the Buffalo Bills quarterback. I had him ranked fifth.
A majority of us here.
I had
here.
Him ranked fifth only ahead of Rudolph.
Majority of us here wanted to stay away from Allen.
There is video evidence, courtesy of Frank, of my displeasure of the selection of Josh Allen on draft night.
Yeah, I could hear it.
And I remember.
I could hear it from down the hall.
Yes, that's right. You were there, like all of us. And I remember going on to Sports Thunder and thinking, okay, I need Mark Schofield to help me out here.
Yeah.
Make me feel better about this. And he said, rose-colored glasses. You're looking at a Blake Bortles situation. I'm like, that's the rose-colored glasses? I'm terrified. Allen played better than a lot of people suspected, which was very promising.
Especially post-injury.
Especially post-injury. When he came out of the lineup, something I said they should have done was not play him right away. Stupid cough.
Yeah.
But the big thing becoming here is, yeah, no, there's no fighting about what they should take. Because now a lot of people are just excited at the options. So, you guys, do you have $660?
I do.
Congrats. Do you want to waste it on a Twitter poll?
I already have.
Good work.
I cannot believe that whole thing about Titans bloggers dropping $660 or more.
And the pompous nature they went about it, parading it like it was something
to be... Yeah, they're proud of the fact that they paid for this.
To be...
They showed it to people.
Proud of.
Congrats.
That's the
you
last
played
thing.
Yourself.
That's the last thing I'd be telling somebody. I would remain as anonymous as I possibly could. Should
yeah.
I have made that decision?
Like, I'd just been like, no, you silly salty Bills fans, that didn't happen. Instead,
wink, wink.
Not even a wink, wink thing. Just let Bills fans just be mad about it. Don't let people know that you actually did it and confirm their suspicions here. I got two things on this. One, that is laughable.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. Two, I hate that they did it against Bills fans because you know what? Now we're not going to hear the freaking end of it. Look, I get it. You're proud. Like, we're all proud of the fan base. Christ, I'm screaming about the Sabres. I've got a lot of pride in these teams. I don't need a Twitter poll to validate the fan base here. You can just go to a game.
Yeah.
You see it with your own eyes. You can watch on TV and hear how loud the roar of the crowd is. You don't need to win a Twitter poll to have that happen. So this is going to be hot take territory here. I might piss some people off.
Put your fingers to your ear and listen for that table smashing.
Exactly. Bills fans are known for something. Causing bodily harm to themselves and others just because of tailgating. You see these fans line up at the airport after this team lost a playoff game 10-3 to welcome them back just because they made the freaking playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a Twitter poll to validate anything. I get it. You want to show pride in the team. But it's a Twitter poll. It's giving you nothing at the end of the day.
You don't gain anything from it. You don't lose anything.
You don't lose anything if you lose naturally.
Yeah.
This almost was the Saints fans' problem, not ours. And honestly, I would have loved that to be the case. It's just one of those things for me that it's superficial. And I don't care for superficial things.
I was hoping Tennessee would come to Buffalo this year, but it's the opposite.
Yeah.
No, instead, what do the Bills get? They get their starting guard, Quentin Spain.
Yeah.
You know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have that.
$660 back.
And I'd have $660 in my bank account, you jackasses. But I don't need to win a Twitter poll. I never even voted in those freaking things.
Which football account was that? NFL on Fox. It's just them getting traffic to their Twitter
account. That's all it is.
That's all that was about.
Yeah. It's the dog days of the off season.
Yeah.
We aren't even getting a heavy smoke screen season. Which, come on, let's go.
That's
get your Pokemon out, use some smoke screen. We need silly season.
Mm-hmm.
Get your coughing.
Yep. Get your wheezings.
Even your Charmanders can learn it.
Yeah.
let's get silly here. Come on. We need it. Because if not, we've got idiots spending $660 on a Twitter poll just so that a fan base can win something.
Oh, that's a beauty. I may have to pull for the Titans anyway.
Why?
They showed up, all Cowboys fans around the world. First off, bad on you, Fox, for giving the Cowboys a number one seed. Don't you know what that fan base is comprised of?
Salty Eagles fans.
Yankees fans, Lakers fans, and Tar Heels fans also are Cowboys fans. That's not a number one seed.
You are stating facts here, but...
And they lost in the first round.
I'm noticing... Hey, how do you know that wasn't blood money? Every team that they beat, how do you know they didn't pay for it?
You know... I guess I don't.
Yeah.
To upset
the Dallas Cowboys fan base, they probably did the same freaking thing. Must be nice to have that disposable income.
No. No. You can easily upset a Cowboys fan base when you start this polling at the end of March and April because they're worried about all the Yankees injuries.
You can upset a Cowboys fan base by saying Tony Romo can't hold a field goal. Snap. That's how you upset a fan base. You don't need to do it by buying votes in a Twitter poll. Because now I'm going to question that whole thing. If they had to do it with Bills fans, they probably had to do it with Cowboys fans. Because they're fans of the Tennessee Titans. Mediocrity defined. 1 yard short forever. Also, it's a freaking fan poll.
We're talking about it, though.
We're talking about it. I'm only talking about it because I hate the concept. And I needed to laugh at these idiots.
This is true.
That spent the money. I mean, I have to.
This is true.
I don't have $660 that I could throw into a web poll. I don't. I need that money to, you know, live. Groceries. Bills. Not the Buffalo Bills. Money. Bills. But at the end of the day, it's just a Twitter poll. I don't care that the Bills fans aren't in it. I'm kind of glad that they're not. Because all it shows at the end of the day is just that some people are just on the internet a lot.
Bam.
It's a fact.
That said, thank you for listening to the Leftovers podcast on WGR550.com. That's how you tie things up in a pretty little bow of stupidity, Kyle.
Well, welcome to the show.
I wouldn't want it to end any other way.
No, it won't end in that way, because right now it's ending in the same way that it always has for the last couple of weeks. I'm going to be a pest about this. I'm going to be constant about this. I need help, people. Frank needs help. But not just us. The entire community needs your help. The 11-day power play. The links are on our handles. Pinned tweet at DerekKramer49.
At Frank R. Curry.
Donate. For the sake of Roswell Park, for Camp Good Days, for Make-A-Wish Foundation, and I don't think that those other two get enough credit. Because those are the foundations that help at least help families escape the crappy reality for at least a week at a time. So, help them out. Help them out, help us out. We'll have the links in the description. We're going to start putting them there.
Yes.
Links in the description. Click. Donate. Help us out. Spread the word. Because we play as Team WGR on July 10th, 3 to 6 at Harbor Center. And then Frank and I play again the next morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Nice. Mm-hmm. On 7-Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a fun little challenge. Playing 2 3-hour shifts within 12 hours of each other. I'm probably going to get blisters.
But you get to end it with a free slushie.
I do get to go and get free slushies.
This is true.
Yes.
This is
very true. I'll also be able to get free food.
Yeah.
Because they do feed us for this. Because we're wasting a lot of, we're losing a lot of calories in this. So we're burning a lot of energy.
Yeah.
And they will be able to provide us for some food. And I'm not going to know what kind of pizza awaits me at 9 a.m.
Who cares?
If it's breakfast pizza, I'm probably going to pass. But then again, I might not have the energy to pass.
Yeah.
Just be like...
I'm sure they're gonna have different options.
Because hot take, I'm not a fan of breakfast pizza.
They're going to have different options.
Bro.
Heck, they might have breakfast food at 9 a.m.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that being the main point. The 11-day power play. July 5th to the 15th at Harbor Center. We play on the 10th and the 11th. We'd love your support, and we'd love to, get some donations in there on our pages.
Get the donations in, and also just come to the events.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. We'd appreciate your support.
Yeah, come hang out.
I'm going to a couple of overnights. Why? Because those are the people that need it the most.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that are going to need it the most. Kyle, I expect you to be there with a giant sign. I don't care what it says.
I can do that.
You can just bring a sign and write sign.
I will do that.
Yes.
I will do that. When I'm not producing the show, I will do that.
I'm pretty sure you're going to end up producing Chauvin Bulldog that day.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to be down there at Harbor Center broadcasting live probably like last year.
Yes.
Probably like last year when Joe almost had his shoulder taken off, or when Gates got clipped with a high stick, or one of our other teammates got blasted in the board's face first. We had a brutal team last year that we had to face. There were a lot of things that happened. Then Ryan got hit in the neck with a puck after that. He's like, I'm done. Oh, you're going to quit something else, Ryan. Easily the best chirp of the day.
No, that's fantastic, yeah.
So, thank you for listening to Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank R. Curry.
Kyle Powell.
And we come at you every Monday, every Thursday here on WGR550.com and on-demand audio. If you're at opening day, enjoy it. If you're at the Sabres game, well, make the best of it. Maybe they'll put up 9 on Ottawa again. Who knows?